Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
The Ronin, the Builder, the Defender, and the Confined went into the woods some werewolves to find. Yet behind the family drama and petty jealous strife, a shadow loomed over all to keep them from the light.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthdraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adirio. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt or on Tumblr and Instagram at Christina Woods Art.
Hey, I'm Emmeline, or Emma, and you can find me on Twitter at Of Hauntings.
My name's Nora Blake, and you can find me on Twitter at Neither Nora, as well as on other podcasts like Hollow Sweethearts, White Lotus Radio, and Babe City.
Hi, I'm Travis, and today I'll be playing Cole Cameron.
You can also find me on Twitter at Dice Lobber.
The scene cuts into the auditorium. There are firemen and police officers, mostly police officers at this point. Most of the firemen are filing out. The police officers are talking to people kind of all over. There's kind of the traditional guys in the detective outfit, you know, the trench coat and the hat. They're talking to people, and you know, you see just some flashes, just like they're talking to the principal, who's sitting on the edge of the stage being checked out by a medic, and she's just saying, yeah, that same prankster kid David from last year just did something. I don't know. It must have been some sort of psychotropic or something. It was bad. And another person is talking to the lady who sat next to Molly, and she's just talking to this guy. Yeah, this young lady next to me in a pink jacket just told me all of a sudden I needed to get up. Like, she heard the riff and she pulled out her phone, and it seemed like she was talking to somebody, and she told me I needed to get out of my chair, and there was that thing under it, and it didn't stab me because of her. I wish I could find out where she went. I wanted to thank her for that. And another person's talking to Jen, who's standing with her mom and dad. Her mom's just sitting, being checked out by a medic, and Jen's going, yeah, my friend Ashley, like, and she got all weird for a minute. I don't know. It's like she maybe, like, figured out what was going on, and she made me not, I guess she was trying to get me to not be in the chair. I don't know. Like, I don't know where she went. The camera's going to kind of pan out a bit, and we'll see, like, Mr. Davis, the vice principal, talking to some cops, just be like, yeah, I don't want to think that Cole's involved with this, but he ain't around, and he kind of vanished, and he was acting weird before it all went down. So you might want to look into him, but I don't know. It might be the kind of rebellious thing he'd do to kind of get back at his parents for making him be here today, but I didn't think he knew David, so maybe not. And the camera's going to keep pulling out, and it's going to pull out outside the school proper looking down, and there are police cars everywhere, flashing lights, and out a far end of the school, a door opens, and the four of you come running out. What are y'all doing?
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Okay, who's got a car? How can we get away? Where's my car? Where did I park? Shoot. where do we go? What do we do?
Should we just beat it on foot and get an Uber somewhere?
An Uber where?
We are not qualified to help. We need an adult.
All right, all right, wait.
Molly,
right.
You're an adult.
Barely.
Oh, God.
All yeah. Right. Molly is pale and looks very winded, more so than the rest of you.
Molly, if Ashley had offered you a piggyback ride out, would you have accepted it?
Yeah, probably.
Then I gave you a piggyback ride out of the school.
That's delightful. Friday, you had something?
Yeah. While everyone's kind of freaking out, she's like, all right, everyone, chill out for a second. Ashley, take a breath. Cole.
Okay.
is there anything else that you learned in your vision that could help us? And Molly, do you have any idea what's going on?
Point of order real fast.
Sure.
Before we take that, what is Friday, you do remember that Ben said Molly knew who was doing this.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. That's kind of what I was trying to get at.
Got you. Okay. Okay. Continue.
All right. So what I saw was someone sitting in a room in front of a computer. There were two books highlighted. I could read their passages, and it was The Serpent and the Rainbow and Passage of Darkness. And next to them, he had some kind of stone that there was some kind of energy or power going into it. And I don't know what it was, but I could tell that's the big bad thing. I mean, this is bad, but this isn't the only part of this guy's plan.
Okay. All right. Molly, do you know anything more than we know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know David?
Yes, I know David.
Yeah, that's him. He did this. He did the thing last year with the guitars, and this is him again.
Wait, that... What? David, the kid who was, like, hacking the morning announcements to play, like, fart noises and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you know where he lives?
Yeah.
Okay, well then let's start there.
I think I might know the garage door code also.
Oh, amazing. Perfect. Great. Oh, great. We got a vision, guys, all right? So, oh man. She's not used to taking charge like this, so her, like, the energy she had at the beginning is a little bit waning. but I was like, all right, do you know why he would, like, why David would even, like, be, why would he do this at all?
He's real big on occult stuff, like deep occult stuff, not like Tumblr witch occult, but like dangerous occult.
Says the actual factual magic wielder.
Hey, she's not the one trying to pull a terror act on a school graduation.
That's, well, okay, so maybe the Cole's books have something to do with that, with the occult.
At this point, Cole's listening, but he's also pacing back and forth. He's gonna pop a cigarette into his mouth, and as soon as he does, the end just flares with fire from the middle of nowhere. I'm actually going to attempt, since something bad is happening or is about to happen, I'm going to see if I can't come up with a hunch.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, roll them bones.
You're having a hunch.
That's going to be yes, I am, because I just rolled a 10.
Yes! Whew, okay. So you know where you're needed to go just in time to get there.
Yep.
Here's the thing. We haven't... Yeah. There's a part of your character, Cole, that we haven't played with yet so far this story.
Okay. Which part are you referring to, sir?
I would be referring to your dark side.
Ooh, yes.
We're triggering that as All part right. of your hunch. You had tagged addiction and what else?
Oh, I even went extra overboard because I like heaping trouble on this poor boy.
Good.
Let's see. We've got hallucinations, dark bargain, addiction, and pain.
So we're gonna be keying that addiction here pretty quick. You're starting to get a little bit antsy for some of that good hit. That's where you're at, and you're getting more and more anxious, more and more kind of annoyed by all this. And something just kind of like slots into your mind from that dark part of you that just goes, like, Molly is right. It's just kind of this definitive statement. Molly is right. Molly knows where he is. He's in the cellar.
All right. So I'm gonna pause for a second. And you can see that Cole has a sheen of sweat starting to go show up on his skin. I'll look at everybody and go, we know exactly where he is. Molly's got it right. My gut just told me. We gotta go. We gotta go quick. Where does he live? How quick can we get there?
It's not far. You'll know about where it is.
It's just a few blocks over that way.
All right, Ashley, you said you had a car?
Yeah, yes, by this point I have calmed down enough. And my, I get my, I like, since I've still got Molly on my back, I have to kind of like turn around to like, Friday, they're in like the outside like pocket of the bag. Can you reach it?
I can just get off. I can just get off.
Oh, okay. if you're okay with walking. Like,
damn it, Friday. This is no time.
Okay.
Okay, let's... Okay.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Then I get my keys out, great. And we go to my car.
Conveniently enough, as per the magic of the hunch, your car's pretty close, like, kind of right there.
Hallelujah.
Hooray!
Hey, Travis?
Yes?
As soon as Cole says all that out loud, it's almost like a blinding light in the back of his skull. He needs a fix.
And I'm guessing I got none on me?
That would be mean, because then you couldn't complete the addiction and you would be denied your powers. So you tell me. I can't declare that. You tell me.
I feel like this has become such a ritualized part of him avoiding sleep anyways that he on the reg is raiding medicine cabinets whenever he goes to functions with his parents and things like that. So, and he knew that this boring graduation thing was probably going to take a while. So I'm guessing he kept some on him. Yes. So okay. I don't know what I'm going to roll, but I'm going to try to do like a sleight of hand to pop a pill.
Roll a cool plus cool.
Roll a sleight of hand check.
That's a 12. I'm smooth.
Yep.
So there we go. On to the car.
All right. You're fine. So your powers are going to work as anticipated. Go ahead. Good job feeding that addiction and just furthering the darkness within Cole. I'm sure that's not a ticking time bomb that's going to explode or anything.
Never, ever.
So y'all all pile. What does Ashley drive?
Ashley drives a 2004 Honda Accord, which...
Are you sure it's not a Jeep Wrangler?
Yes, I am sure.
Okay.
Is it four doors or two doors?
Four doors.
Okay. Mine is two doors.
It is.
I drive in real life right now.
It is a newer version of my car, which is from 1998.
The dramatic rush to the house just in the nick of time in a Honda Accord just seems less dramatic.
Sorry. Look.
That's what you think.
Teens.
It's her first car. And if she had two parents, she would have gotten a nicer car, but she wanted help pay for it herself. So
If this was, you know, this is a car full of teens. So who called Shotgun, and who actually ended up in Shotgun?
I would nominate Molly or are for they Shotgun the same person? Because she knows where we're going.
I think I took one of the back seats because then everyone's eyes were not on me, and that's where the sleight of hand came in. I opened the door and pilled a mouth as I was getting into the car.
Perfect. All right. So Friday and Cole are in the back. Mm-hmm. Molly and Ashley are in the front.
Yep.
And y'all are driving. Molly's giving directions. Y'all are going to get there, of course, because of the magic of the hunch and because Cole very kindly fed his addiction in the nick of time. Y'all arrive at kind of a... It's not a worn-down house. No house in this part of Port Avalon is run down. But it could be a little bit more run up. It looks... for all the world, like the kind of house that a college dude or a couple dudes would rent. So, like, the lawn hasn't been mowed in a while. There's, like, just a pile of newspapers in the yard. There's two beat-up cars parked in front of the house. And what looks suspiciously like a project car on blocks and under a tarp up by the garage. And this... is where David lives.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's not much better on the inside, so get ready.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure I've got germics around here if we need it afterward.
Hey, Cole, are you going to key him into your other additional little bit of information there?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that I hadn't mentioned that. I apologize. I'll eye up the house. He's going to be in the cellar. All the bad guys are always in the cellar. Always the cellar.
Yeah, that tracks.
Molly's going to lead the way to the back of the house.
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
And pull up the little cover on a little keypad to the garage and type in 1337. And the garage door opens.
Disappointingly to everyone with good sense in the world, the door creaks open.
Oh, God.
She just rolls her eyes.
Jeez, you were kidding when you said this guy was trash.
And inside the garage is just heaps of bad furniture. Some boxes of old magazines that are probably best not leafed through. And there are two doors. One that looks like one that Molly knows goes into the house, and one that goes down to the cellar.
Molly is like doing some quick little stretches, trying to get circulation back into her fingertips. And all right, y'all ready?
I think Ashley had like a Powerade in the car that Molly just probably just downed.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
To get those electrolytes back, and you're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. It feels like I spent something. I don't know. It just feels like I spent like 2/7 of something.
Two of something.
But she reaches up and pats her jacket, where in the inside jacket breast pocket of her jacket, she feels a little good luck charm from Minnie. And that. All right.
Aww. I mean, you did do something that was really weird, but also helped a lot, so I think you have the right to be tired, Molly.
Yeah, I don't usually get to do more than one or two spells in a day, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, hope for the best. Say a little prayer, y'all. Which door do we go in?
Oh, that one.
Y'all just walk over to the door to the cellar, push it open. It's a little stiff. And there's a staircase leading down, you know, traditional rickety staircase. And from down below, y'all hear just, hey, Travis, what's some gross grunge music?
Well, you're talking about, like, metal music?
Something that a gross high school boy would listen to.
Oh, I got it. Perfect. This is late 90s, early 2000 Japanese grindcore, a band called TSSO. Or no, CSSO. I'm sorry. Clotted Symmetrical Sexual Organ. Yeah, that's a real thing.
Jesus.
What? No, Matt. There is no Jesus in that music.
So, CSSO is playing on just the loudest setting. Like this seems like the guy who watched Spinal Tap unironically and tried to find a speaker set that went to 11, because that seems like the gross kind of high school thing he would have done, because these kind of boys in high school were nightmares. We really are. Y'all are able to go down the stairs,
and Molly's gonna go first.
Absolutely. So what's the order? Molly's going first.
What's the party order?
Yeah, Friday follows Molly, I think.
Okay.
I will be in.
I'll take next if you want. I'm kind of amped up and ready to go at this point.
Yeah, you're feeling real good, Cole. Just real good.
Top of the world.
And Ashley's bringing up the rear?
I guess, yeah. Tank's bringing up the rear in case something happens to the back of the party.
Do you have your weapon out?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So y'all are all making your way down the stairs, Molly in the lead. Cole, as y'all kind of get down the stairs enough that y'all can see under the roof of this room a little bit, under the ceiling, you realize immediately this is the room you saw in that premonition earlier on. Exactly. Like, the books aren't as highlighted as they were in the vision space, but you can pinpoint right where they are. They're right there. That shard of stone is floating on the right side of the room. And furiously hacking into something is David. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM, just popping in here for a quick mid-episode break. As always, I want to thank Renee Rhodes for our recap intro. You can find her at RadianR on Twitter, and you can find her podcast, Fate and the Fable Maidens, on Twitter at FateFMcast, and you should definitely be following both of them. Also, our music is Agra by Damiano Baldoni off of the album Lost Dynasty, and you can find that on the Free Music Archive. Our High Tide Rec, again, continuing this month's theme, is Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined, a game currently on Kickstarter by our cast member, Riley Hopkins, who plays Minnie. That game funded in a day. So you're not like gambling on it to fund on Kickstarter. It's already there. Go jump in, get some pretty exclusive stuff from that, including a playbook that's, I believe, being written by Nora, another one of our cast members. So lots of exciting stuff. It's a great game. If you like Kickstarter, or not Kickstarter, I mean, listen, if you like Kickstarter, just don't overdo it, okay? Me to you, just don't overdo it. If you like Kingdom Hearts, you're going to love this game. And if you just enjoy kind of like any of those questions are like, what would happen if Tommy Oliver met anyone from Final Fantasy? You can use this game to kind of explore that space, see what's going on there. It's a ton of fun. I got to play in it, in a playtest of it. It was great. It was a ton of fun. I actually did play Tommy Oliver because I'm a nerd. Also, I do want to point y'all to one more thing before I hand this over to our promos. There is an Indiegogo campaign going on right now for PodCon. It's a podcast-only convention up in Pacific Northwest, I believe, Seattle. It was founded by the guy who started Welcome to Night Vale. Justin and Travis McElroy are two of the founders of it. It's a celebration of podcasts. They're doing an Indiegogo just to raise all the money they need to get the con to happen in January. Go check that out. You can do a quick Google, or you can just go to my Twitter. There should be a retweet of the link of it pretty near the top right now. Go give that a look and see if you want to support it. If there are podcasts that you think should be in the show, there's a form to recommend them. So do that. Go give that a look. And we'll be back on Saturday with a new Blind Box episode. That's going to be a game of Interstitial, GM'd by Riley and with three of our cast members. So go check all that out. See y'all next time.
The Red Stair is a room-scale virtual reality game about spying on your neighbors during a time of increased paranoia and fear of communism. Play as a secret agent in 1950s New York as you unravel the relationships of the denizens of the apartment building across the street and find out who is or isn't a secret communist spy. The Red Stair is available for free on Steam for HTC Vive and Oculus Rift. I made the characters for this.
Hey everybody, I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the Cool Kids Table, a RPG podcast about shitty teens.
And magical girls.
And really bad D&D heroes.
And just many other stuff we can get our hands on.
And our D&D heroes aren't that bad.
We didn't actually plan what to say for this, so I hope you're into people flying by the seat of their pants and just incapable of playing game systems correctly.
And bad puns.
Wonderful puns.
So you can get all this and more every other Sunday over at the Cool Kids Table.
And you can sit with us.
What are y'all gonna do? He has not seemed to notice you.
I kind of want to just, like, turn on the lights.
Oh, the switch is right there by the stairs. And it's, if you do this, it's that dramatic light switch that doesn't exist in the real world that turns on the lights and turns off the music.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good. All right, so Molly hits that switch, and David just turns around with, like, his hand over his face and goes, "Ah, who are you?"
I told you to fuck off.
Molly?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
What the fuck are you doing?
And he, like, is darting furtive glances at the rock that's kind of floating there. And it's just nothing. I'm just pulling a prank. You know, fuck that place. You used to say that. He's just like pointing at you.
As they're both talking, and he's got his attention on Molly, Cole is going to try to edge slowly to interpose himself between this guy and the rock.
Okay.
Hey, is my weapon having any reaction to the rock shard?
Your weapon is like a damn back massager right now. It is not happy about something in this room.
Okay.
No, let me rephrase that. It is enthusiastic about the opportunities that this room presents to it.
Okay.
That's the feeling you get here.
That's more concerning, but okay.
Yes, that's why I changed how I described that. Okay, Cole, you're going to do a thing. There's a move for this. It's a specific move. Act under pressure.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a roll plus cool.
All right. That is a 6.
Okay. You're going to mark experience, and as per the book, things are going to go to hell, but not yet. Because Molly is having a conversation with this edgelord, we're going to let that go on for a minute before he notices. So, Molly, you were saying?
Why are you still on this?
They ruined like 4 years of my life. You get it? You used to be all about that shit. Burn it down. Take down the man. Didn't you see what I did? It was beautiful.
What you did was cause unnecessary suffering in people. What does that do to oppressive power structures?
Oh, man. Did the principal get it right in the face like she was supposed to?
No. No one is sick anymore.
What? And he, like, looks back at his computer and it's like, no, it's still going. Nothing. I didn't stop it.
No, you didn't. I did.
What do you mean you did?
I've grown a lot since last year, and I guess you haven't changed at all.
Oh, no, that's not true at all. And he, like, stands up, and that's when he notices Cole trying to get between him and the rock. And his eyes just kind of flash, and he just goes, oh, I don't think so, new kid. And he tries to jump at the rock. What do y'all do?
Can I field hockey tackle him to the ground?
You can absolutely try to. Roll some kick ass.
Okay, I get a 7.
So you're going to be able to. He's going to get a swing in on you, but he's not really, like, tough or armed. So only one bit of damage is coming at you. 1 point of damage is coming at you.
Okay.
So that probably shouldn't be any sort of real badness on you. Are you using your weapon or are you just hitting it?
I am conflicted because on one hand, just like, actually, you know what? I am using my weapon because in field hockey, you don't tackle people. You hit them in the shins with your hockey stick.
Okay, so you're trying to
he's getting either
hook his legs.
Yeah, he's getting either kneecapped or hooked, or getting his legs hooked with my weapon.
Okay, so he's still like flailing as he falls, so he's still going to get a hit on you. So you take that 1 point of damage.
Yes.
Your weapon hits him, hooks him, does a heap of damage to him on his way down, and he screams like far beyond what this hit warranted. And Ashley, you feel this immediately, that your weapon reacted to something that was like in him or on him or something. And your weapon's just like, fuck yeah. Like you can just kind of feel that thrill. Molly, okay, you're still a little keyed up. You're not like in as deep into the flow right now, but you're still like kind of keyed up from that. And you can feel just like almost like a surge happened that was, imagine two jumper cables that are attached to a battery hitting each other. That spark, it kind of felt like a magical equivalent of that from like two opposing forces hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is screaming.
Can I just like sit up, like pile on his back and stop him from moving and getting to anything else?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is he's just writhing.
So I do that.
So then. Yeah, you're able to kind of restrain him. Friday, Molly, are you focused on him right now?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Friday and Cole, I need y'all to give me a plus sharp or plus weird.
Plus weird?
Either one.
Yeah, seven.
Oh, okay.
Eight. Okay. Okay, cool. Something is happening. Cole notices this a little bit more just because you were kind of moving towards the rock in the first place. And Friday, some part of you, some like exposure to weirdness or something is like somewhere in the back of your mind, you're taking notes and you're just like, something is happening to me on a weird level. I'm able to notice like weirdness in a tactile way. And I should probably ask questions about this or be concerned about this, but something pulls your attention to the rock. Like, it takes a minute and you're not really able to quite process it. And Cole, whatever's happening is outside of the realm of your experience, but something is happening to this rock.
All right. Can I assess a bad situation? Maybe get a little more information now that I've noticed something bad is happening?
Why, yes. Yes, you can.
Why, no. No, I cannot.
No!
That is a six.
No.
Friday, would you like to give it a try?
I would. Let's see here. That's a 12.
I'm going to, in lieu of you asking questions, I'm going to narrate some stuff for you here real fast that Friday notices.
Alrighty.
That rock, weirdly, has like ceased to be a rock. And in the exact shape of that shard of rock floating in that like metal contraption containment field looking thing is a rip in space.
Oh, shit.
And it's the whole thing is like moving and shifting, and it's like someone put a string on the end of this rock and or like a rod on the end of this rock and is moving and wiggling it around. But because that thing is now like a rip in space, it's changing the angle that you're seeing through. So occasionally you get this image of just this like blasted ground underneath this point of view. Sometimes you're getting this view into the sky that's like black with black stars somehow. It actively hurts your brain to look at it. And I need you, and I need Cole, and I need Ashley, and I need Molly to roll stability.
Oh, I got a 13.
Yeah, you're fine.
I'm not picking my audio this time.
Fucking, what did I get here? 1, 2, 3, 4 full successes in a row. So let's go for 5.
Go.
I also rolled a 5, but I am burning a luck here because Christina out of character is concerned, and Ashley in character is trying to keep this kid from doing whatever it is that she can hear going on behind her. So okay. I'm marking a luck.
Okay, so Ashley is fine, Molly is fine, Friday is fine. How you doing, Cole?
Well,
yes.
I may have rolled a 5 right there.
Mark experience, buddy, and mark 2 points off your stability,
which is already reduced.
Where you at? Where you at on that track? Where you at on that track?
Well, I you didn't fully say. I want to have a rules discussion here.
Okay.
Because unless you hit a break point, it reduces when you do your next game, right?
Yeah, after every session, it would refill to whatever your top point is. Because some people traded points.
Yeah, I was one of the ones that let go of a permanent stability.
Okay.
That was our deal. So, that just puts me at a 2.
Okay. Okay. For now. Yes. Good. Okay. So, hey, Cole? Hey, Cole, buddy? I'm going to finish describing what Friday sees through the rock here in a minute. Hey, Cole?
Yeah?
Something that's not that dark part of you is whispering into your ears right now.
And what is it whispering?
You don't know. It is, like, heavy sibilance, lots of hissing S sounds. You notice eventually, actually, hold on, I can't say that, but, so this voice is just in your ear, and it's starting to, like, put an edge on everything you do. You're just, like, almost shaking from whatever it is, because it is so antithetical to you. And what's worse, that dark part of you, that part you made a deal with, yeah, it's not enjoying this any more than you are. Friday,
mm-hmm,
you're fine. For whatever reason, you are completely inured to this, frankly, sanity-rending exercise that you've somehow just leaped right over my sanity puzzle.
I want to lose sanity.
you're looking through.
I just want to know what happened.
It showed you.
Me too.
It showed you that blasted ground. It showed you that impossible sky. It keeps moving, and you see, like, a glimpse of a ruined city. And you see this, like, roiling metallic lake. And then you see a rock floating there again. That's just kind of spinning. And if Molly or Ashley at this point look over there, all y'all would see is a rock kind of spinning in midair. Cole.
Yes?
I need you to do something for me. And I'm going to just, I'm just going to lay this option out for you.
Okay.
And let you make these decisions, because that's what we're supposed to do here. This, you and your dark side are both just like, y'all have like a mental confab in like thought space, in like the space of a millisecond. And y'all are both just like, this whispering, whatever the fuck that is, needs to get bent. And y'all are both, okay, in absolute agreement on this.
All right.
And your dark side goes, all right, I can track it. You can do something about it.
All right. Where is the source? Where's the source of the bad mojo in my head?
It pulls your eyes around off of the scene of Ashley just, like, mercilessly taking this shitbag to the ground. And it's like that dark part of you that you made the bargain with, like, takes your chin and moves your head over to the rock. And where Friday, Molly, and Ashley now can only see a rock, you see a widening circle ripped in space. And on the other side, you see a ruined city, a sky full of black stars, blasted yellow ground, a writhing metallic lake, a shape of someone shackled between two pillars on the side of the lake and moving without actually moving any limbs is a tall human shape with a tattered yellow cloak.
All right, so the moving, not moving guy is what really jumps out to me there. I'm thinking that's what, you know, Dark Cole is trying to grab my attention with. So, I think I'm gonna have to use magic.
Absolutely.
And I think I'm going to have to bar a portal or entryway for a specific person or creature.
Please roll that for me, Cole. Please roll that.
That is a seven.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, Cole? Hey, Cole?
Yeah.
Or actually, I guess, hey, Travis?
Yeah?
I'll give you back a luck or I'll give you a bonus luck that you can carry forward into the next session if you don't use it now, to let me choose that glitch.
Oh, it's tempting. Which way do I want to go?
I wish everyone out there could see the shit-eating grin on my face right now.
You know what? Drama is the best part of role-playing. Go.
Okay, so you're going to bar this portal. Tell me what this magic looks like coming out of Cole. As this is you and your darkness in perfect agreement. So you're not sacrificing anything in actual terms of, like, character right now.
No. Okay. Well, first of all, since this is really one of the first times that happens, do you remember the really awesome scene where in the first Spider-Man, the Green Goblin is having a conversation with himself and Willem Dafoe changing body language as he went between the two characters?
Yeah.
Cole's whole body language changes, like his posture, because this is like a new being almost. And I raise both of my hands and I put them up above my head, bring them down to my sides in a half circle, and then I begin to close them. And as I do, smoke starts to come from my fingers, like it's getting hotter. And around near the stone, you see that same ring of fire, or the ring of fire that should be between my hands, slowly starting to contract around that area.
Okay. So it starts to contract around that. It catches the edge of the portal and begins forcing it back down. And you see this thing on the other side react. And it flicks a finger. And there's a palpable, and all four of you feel this, there is a palpable wave of energy that comes out of this portal and doesn't seem to do anything to any of y'all. Cole continues to just bring this portal down, and any of the three of y'all that look up at him notice, like, this is a different Cole. This is, like, in perfectly honest terms, this is a Cole at peace with who and what he is, acting for maybe the first time in his life in a unified way with all parts of himself. And he's bringing this power to bear, and the portal's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You three don't see a portal. You see the rock being eaten by this fire. And as it closes, there's a bright flash of light. The three of you, because y'all have made your sanity saves earlier and y'all have been fine with everything that's happened so far for various reasons, just kind of get, like, flashbanged a little bit. So y'all are just kind of blinded for a moment. Cole.
Yeah.
I need you to roll stability for me.
Of course you do. That is a 9.
So mark 1 point of stability, which unfortunately for me means that you're still going to be fine after this.
Well, I don't know. Does my breakpoint shift because I have a permanent loss of 1?
No, because it would still be... You would then, instead of having 4, 2, 1, you would have 3, 2, 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're right at the edge. Like, if you had failed this roll, you would have hit your first breakpoint.
Aw.
And it would have been really great. For all of us, for everyone involved on this particular podcast tonight. So they're blinded for the moment. There's this bright flash of light, and it doesn't blind you. What it does is something very weird. Instead of, as it logically would, cast a shadow of you brightly behind you, a shadow flares up in front of you.
That's not how light works.
A tall, thin, inky shadow. And following it, you notice that, like, you can see very clearly a human shape, or a humanoid shape.
Okay.
Like, there's a head. It's got, like, a weird pointy thing on top of it, it looks like. There's a body. There's legs. There's arms with two long, two sharp fingers. But at the top of it, it looks like there's a long, thick shadow going up through the ceiling.
Okay.
and it looks at you and just goes, you look so intriguing, Cole. One shard of the rock down, seven to go. And Cole?
Yes?
I'm going to give you this for free. Because I like a bit of chaos in this world. You can either deliver a message to Father Milo, or know something about tonight. What'll it be?
You fucking demons and your Faustian bargains.
I'm no demon, Cole. What's your choice?
What's the message?
Tell Father Milo. It's too late for the lake, but one of the temples has a clock on it. Tick, tick, tick. And as it's saying that, it's reaching a hand out, and on its last tick, it flicks you in the forehead. Your vision goes white.
Mm-hmm.
And like you come to just like a second later on the floor. Everyone else heard like a pop when the rock was consumed. They got blinded by a flash. And as their eyes start to clear, they see you on the floor. And what do y'all do?
Oh my god, can someone check and see if it's okay? I don't want to get off of this idiot right now.
Yeah. Alright.
Friday's not doing anything. She would run over and try to see if he's okay.
So Friday's checking on Cole?
Yes, on Cole, yeah.
Okay. Cole is fine. He's coming out of it. Well, fine is a relative term.
Sure.
Cole is not physically injured by what happened. You're kind of blinking your eyes, trying to get your vision back, and it's slowly coming back, just like theirs are. Molly, are you helping secure David?
Yeah.
Okay. You can search around and ignore some more troubling things you find in the desk, and you do eventually find some zip ties and what looks like a prepper militia kind of tool belt thing that you use to bind him. And he's not putting up any sort of struggle. In fact, he just looks, he's weeping and not giving any sort of resistance.
Friday really wanted to punch him in the face, but now she doesn't really want to.
And Ashley.
Yes?
Your weapon is still and quiet.
Okay. What do I need to roll to figure out if my weapon stopping reacting to the room was linked to the rock's disappearance?
Ooh. Give me a plus weird.
Oh, great. Come on, dice, don't fail me now. Okay, grand total is a 7.
Okay, so you're just kind of puzzled by this, and you, like, look at your weapon and, like, look at the rock, and, like, you were busy at the time, but you can kind of, like, it feels like a solid assumption to be, like, that rock, plus my weapon, made my weapon annoyed, something weird going on, like, not all the pieces are there, but you've got a reasonable assumption, and you just feel this, like, pulse from your weapon that's just kind of, like, no shit, Sherlock. And you get the troubling impression that your weapon has, like, kind of, like, crossed its arms and, like, turned around in, like, a huff.
Okay.
And besides the fact that that's just a bit strange, you also get the feeling that, like, how much do I give you? Let me ask a question about Ashley's past.
Okay, shoot.
Has Ashley ever had or closely witnessed one of those really kind of bad high school relationships where it was a love triangle, but really it was like one person really wanted to date someone, so to get them jealous they dated somebody else, and then that person got to watch them like kind of moon over their actual romantic interest while they were together? You know, that thing shitty teens do.
Statistically,
she's observed it.
Yeah. I mean, okay. her interest in psychology is because she wants to be able to understand people and why they do things. So,
got you.
She's overall good at noticing. Not like plus two good, but good.
You're getting this weird feeling from your weapon. And it's like, it kind of feels like that. Like, you don't know why, you don't know what caused it, but it feels like your weapon is just like, I feel somebody else out there that's much more like someone I want to be with. Kind of. It's kind of that. It's very much just kind of like, eh, I'm with you now, so I'm going to make it work. It feels very pissy. It's kind of like a little jealous, a bit pissy, and just kind of like, I'm having a bad day. Leave me alone now, please.
Christina will remember this. And in that case, since that's what my weapon is telling me, I will put it back in the sheath sling on my back.
Okay. Go ahead, Molly.
Is David okay? Or just, like, what's his deal?
Ashley's hit hurt him very badly.
Mm-hmm.
In numerical game terms, a normal human person has 7 boxes of health. Ashley can hit for 4.
Uh-huh.
And he did not have armor on, so he real beat up. But, like, he's not making any fuss. He's not saying anything. He's just, like, weeping and just kind of, like, laying there, just kind of, like, staring into the empty space where the rock was.
Hey.
What?
What are you doing?
You wouldn't fucking get it.
Really?
He just, like, rolls his head and looks at you and just goes, I met God and you took it away. That's probably a good place for Cole to wake up.
All right. So how am I feeling? Can I get to my feet, everything?
Physically, you are fine.
All right. I'm going to walk over with still some of that different body language and just a grin on my face. You know, that satisfied look when a cat's finally closed in on its prey kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get up close to David, like right next to his ear since he's bound. And I'm going to go, I've got good news for you. There really is still room in hell.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.